Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, November 21st, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I was worried I was going to say that other word today.
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
No, of course not. But anyway,
heck go ahead. Anyway, we got, let's go ahead and get into the market report. Lots of things going on. And gold, more pressure, down 7:30 right now in the New York spot aftermarket price. New York spot price aftermarket. Gold, 1465. Silver is down 5 pennies at 1718. Platinum is down $2 at 919. Palladium is holding at 1768. USDX is stronger by 0.14 at 98.01. Crude oil is up another buck and a half at 58.46. Paper markets today, you have the Dow down 55 points, 27,766. The NASDAQ is down 20, 8,506. The S&P down 5, 3,103. 10-year yield 1.77%. European Asian markets were all down. Hong Kong finally took a hit of 1.5%. And, you know, we just continue to Bitcoin. I don't like Bitcoin. I don't like it at all. It isn't real. And, you know, I know how easy it is to get conned into holding something like that and so forth. And, you know, some have done well. And kudos for those. I hope you sold when you do well. And then you take your profit and you get into something that you can hold your purchasing power. But I like to watch. I mean, it's amazing the volatility of it. Now we're looking at 75, 77, down 6% today. And, you know, eventually there'll be enough... there'll be enough push to tell people to buy low. It's dropped. Now get in there, and they'll run it back up to, you know, maybe 10 or maybe an 11 or something like that. And, you know, it's the old Ponzi scheme, and everybody thinks that this is the latest, it is the latest craze and fad and so forth. But it's interesting to watch. But anyway, Butch.
Yes. Well. You said it. It's not real anyway. It's a digital computer.
Not real.
It's worth less than paper dollar.
I know.
You know?
It is baffling. It is baffling. But anyway, I guess, you know, again, to me, you know, when you talk about what's going on here, it's always the debt. You know, we're looking, global debt is $250 trillion. And, oh, yeah, that can be paid back. Right, Butch?
Sure can. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's just use Bitcoin.
Okay. Hey, what a plan.
Now, isn't that an idea? I mean, yeah, I just put it on the computer and said, here it is, it's paid, and let's move on down the road now.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan. Well, if you take Uber, I know a lot of people use Uber. I even used it, but now they plan to audio record their rides. So if you get in there, you're going to be recorded, so be careful what you say. And some good news here. Seems like after cutting 4,000 jobs, GM is hiring. But we'll see. Not for the traditional gasoline-powered automobile, but they're going to be looking to hire. So we know that GM cut some 4,000 salary jobs in North America as part of their restructuring plan. And it also included some production changes that had idled 3 plants. And now it looks like they're going to be getting some jobs. Electric vehicles. Big demand for those, Butch, right?
Yeah, really. I read and researched some, by the way, on some of that information. And from what I have read, it's going to take more energy to keep the electric cars running than does gasoline cars.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder on the environment than gasoline because all the energy is going to take to produce electricity. Electricity doesn't just produce itself out there in the air, folks. Somebody's got to produce it somehow. It's either fossil fuel or air, a turbine or water, but it's got to be produced. It doesn't just come out of thin air. Somebody's got to produce it, and it's not going to be free, believe me.
And then California bans, this was out a couple days ago, they banned the government purchase of gasoline vehicles as part of the new governor, Gavin Newsom's administration's attempting to combat that climate change. California has banned the purchase of gasoline-fueled vehicles by government groups. The state fleet includes about 51,000 cars and trucks. As of last year, more than 3,000 of those vehicles were hybrids or zero-emission vehicles. The rule also mandates that beginning next year, state agencies purchase vehicles from manufacturers that recognize the state's authority to set its own emission standards. Currently, the Trump administration is trying to revoke that ability. So with the backing from Honda, Ford, BMW, Volkswagen, California is challenging the administration in court, and the automakers have agreed to comply with California standards regardless of federal standards. So, of course, GM, Toyota, Mazda, and Fiat are backing the Trump administration, and why wouldn't they? They were all the bailout companies, so. Or most of them were. So anyway, just some weird news out there. What do you have for us, Butch?
Oh, a lot of different things. But I just listen to what you're saying there, and Gavin Newsom is a work of art, to be polite. I mean, he's a work now. He really is.
Land in the fruits and nuts. He fits
oh,
well.
Oh, my gosh. He certainly is one of the head nuts. But as you read these things, you think, it can't get any worse. They can't get any dumber. But they do. You know, I mean, do people really think the electricity is going to be free? We can just plug into a gas station, whatever you call it, a service station, and recharge for nothing? I mean, this is going to be so wonderful. Melody, there's nothing that's produced for nothing. If it's worth anything, you know, it's like Bitcoin. Bitcoin comes out nothing, so what's it worth? Nothing. We think it is because we want to be. It's like the dollar bill. But anyway, share a couple of things to start off with, and I thought this was interesting. This is the Week magazine, this week's issue. It says, good week for Ivanka Trump, who has single-handedly created 14 million jobs since 2017, a senior White House official, her father, boasted in a speech. This means Ivanka deserves credit for a staggering 233% of the 6 million U.S. jobs created during this period. She created more jobs than that was on record. I mean, she created 233% more jobs than created during the period. That's pretty doggone good now, I tell you what.
Well, let's give her some benefit of the doubt. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. So, how were those jobs created?
I didn't say. You just said they created the jobs. And this was kind of a sad note, I guess. Bad week for millennials, with a new study warning of troubling generational health patterns among those born between 1981 and 1986, including depression, hyperactivity, high cholesterol, and substance abuse. Without intervention, the study says, millennials could have a 40% higher mortality rate than the preceding Generation X. And I don't know what else to say. It's simple. It's easy. We brought in a generation of young'uns without any real moral values, without a work ethic, without any physical and mental constitution to stand up against hard times. We wonder why they're sick. Melody, that is really so sad. We can blame a lot of things, I guess you can, but when you leave out everything about what's right and wrong and morals in a family and in a generation or two, the nation is going to be gone. And that's what's happened. And the millennials are suffering from a lot of situations, depression and high blood pressure and everything else because of their lifestyles, their lack of, I would say, mental and spiritual training to endure what's coming on this earth. And Melody, you and I are a different generation, I know that. But I grew up not being taught that I deserved everything and do nothing. I wasn't taught that. I was taught to work hard, earn what I was given, and be thankful that I could do that. But this has ended in this nation, has it not?
But I don't think it's intentional that parents are teaching their children bad habits. I think it's being done because the parents, we have a culture anymore. They're, number one, they don't want to be parents. They want to be friends.
There you go.
They don't want to say no, but they think they actually believe that's better for their child. And believe me, I'm not a child psychiatrist or psychologist. So, and also, they want to do everything they can for their children. So, you know, they think it's, I think in a way, because I don't believe we truly are better off than the last generation or the last, you know, 10 years or whatever you want to call it, I think they try to compensate in different ways to make look, you know, and it has become materialistic.
It has. And parents want to be friends with the children. You're not right. The friend of a child. You're the parent of the child.
You're the parent.
You know, you cannot be their friends in a sense that their peers can be. You're their parent.
So I think it's just, I don't know if it's natural in today's world, the parent wants to give their child everything that they can give them, hoping that it's going to, you know, they're going to have a better life and so forth. And instead, it might be creating some challenges for them. And then you have the indoctrination of the schools, colleges, and everything else. TVs, movies, Hollywood, you have their videos. I mean, they get bombarded from how many different directions.
And
did we have when we were growing up? We had our parents and our grandparents.
And
even schools then, we had prayer in schools up until 64, I think. 63
and we had recesses,
like that.
We played ball, we played tag.
We didn't have those outside influences like they had.
No, we didn't.
You know, there was no TVs. I mean, there certainly wasn't soft pornography on your commercials and on every place else that you can go to. I mean, even the cartoons, you know, didn't have, you know, soft porn like they do today.
Well,
so
I can't speak for everybody, but being reared in the country, I spent most of my free time in the woods. My brother and I both did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used something called an imagination. You remember when people used to have an imagination?
I do.
You know, and we went out and we built forts to fight off the bad guys. You know, just pick up sticks and build forts and spend all day in the woods and learn about trees or hickory nuts and acorns and where they come from and learning the ways of animals who like to hunt. We did that a lot. Mm-hmm. And we never did drugs. We didn't become alcoholics. I mean, it's amazing. And my parents made us mind them. We didn't sass dad, mom. Dad would not tolerate that.
Oh,
we,
heck.
We
got in trouble if we had the look. Wipe
yeah,
that look
that's
off
true.
Your face. Okay, or I'll wipe it off for you. Okay.
But you could be in public and your mom and dad look at you a certain way. You know, you better shut up. They'll say a word to you. Just look at you. You know, and you better shut up. And when mom said, wait till your dad gets home, we knew we were in trouble then. If she didn't crack right on the spot, we knew he'd done something really bad. When dad got home, mom went to him, that was a whole different ball game, believe me. So, yeah, we learned to mind our parents.
I've shared this story on the air before then. I remember for like Mother's Days or birthdays, you could buy paddles, little thin wood paddles.
Yes.
In the Five and Dime store, and it would have a little hole at the top so you could hang it on the wall so it was close to her hand, and it would have some silly little, you know, poem on it or something like that. Here's the paddle of wood hanging on the wall for, you know, and we used to give them to her as a gift. It's like, what's wrong with us? It was
Mom
a joke, of course. We had humor.
Well, Mom,
she
make us go
use
get her
it
own
once
switches.
In a while.
Mama make us get our own switches. So,
yeah.
You know,
that's what my grandparents did. But anyway, so.
They ruined me. They ruined me. I've been married 48 years yesterday to one wife. I got 3 grown sons and 6 grandchildren. They're all decent people. I mean, Mom and Dad just about ruined me. They taught me how to live morally and how to work hard.
Shame on you.
And be thankful. They about ruined me. They ruined me now. I'm telling you, I could have been a drunk addict, an alcoholic, a wife beater. But they ruined me. Doggone.
Yes.
Anyway, I told Marsh we must have done something wrong. I mean, we're still married 48 years. We've done something wrong. But
Well, happy anniversary.
We'll move on. Well, thank you. I'm thankful for that. I really am. There are days I wonder, but normally I'm thankful for it. But this next article, get us back down, I guess, to on Earth and some things, because it's really sad. The so-called War on Terror has killed over 801,000 people and cost $6.4
trillion. We
the
talked
so-called,
about that
the so-called
yesterday.
War on Terror launched... Oh, I'm sorry. I did not know
well,
that.
That's all right.
I did not know
Go
that.
Ahead. Because okay. I think it's important, but and I'd like to hear your view.
Well, the so-called War on Terror launched by the United States government in the wake of September 11th. Now, Billy, that's only been, I mean, it doesn't seem like long to us. It's been 19 years ago, roughly. But it doesn't seem that long to us, but it's been a while back. It has cost 801,000 lives and $6.4 trillion, according to a pair of reports published by Wednesday by the Cost of War Project. Now, this is amazing to me. These reports provide a reminder that even if the fewest soldiers are dying and the U.S. is spending a little less on the immediate cost of war today, the financial impact is still as bad as or worse than it was 10 years ago. We will still be paying the bill for these wars on terror until the 22nd century. And Melody, how many wars will be involved in between then and the next 100 years? I mean,
how many
generations have went by without a war? I can't, mm-hmm. none that I can think of. There's been probably 8 or 9 wars since I've been alive. You know, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, I mean, this, you know, and Iraq. So, no. Each generation has its own war. You know that. So that's where we are. And the cost of it isn't just in money, obviously. It's in the lives of innocent children that shouldn't be out in the first place. They've still got pimples on their face. They're out somewhere in some battlefield dying for what we call freedom. We'll move on now.
Well, I just want to pull something. Yesterday, we also talked about there's just something going on with South Korea. They were supposed to have a meeting, and they pay, I don't know what they pay for, it's close to $1 billion that South Koreans pay for military bases and so forth and whatnot over there. And President Trump upped it to $5 billion, and everybody was appalled, so everybody walked out of the meeting and so forth. That was what was reported. And then today there was a report that President Trump might pull 4,000 troops from South Korea, but then the United States denies that report. And the report was actually out of a South Korean newspaper. And so it's they say there is absolutely no truth to that report, that the U.S. Department of Defense is currently considering removing any troops from the Korean Peninsula. I mean, you start hearing reports like that, and it's getting out, and, you know, you kind of wonder what North Korea is thinking and what truly is going on back, you know. Just another place, I said yesterday, just another place in the world where we really don't know what's going on.
No, we don't. And, we don't know what's going on here, much less over there.
Well, I do know that we're heading into a break. I know that much. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Well, that sounds like a different music, or maybe it is the same. Maybe we played it all the way out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And I did a little comparison today, Butch, and the $10 Liberty Gold pieces, Mint State 62, are now selling below the $20 Liberty Gold piece for Mint State 62. So I always bring that to the listeners to let you know it's the buying opportunity to buy the $10 Liberty Gold pieces. You can even bump up to Mint State 63 $10 Liberty Gold piece, and you'd only be paying about $10, $15 more than what the 63 $20 Liberty Gold piece would sell for. And normally there you can have a $100 or more spread between the two. So, and we all know that fractional pieces always sell for more than their bigger counterparts. So when it dips below, it's time to buy. And I'm telling you now, Mint State 62 $10 Liberty Gold pieces and the Mint State 63 $10 Liberty Gold pieces. You can buy the $10 Liberty Gold pieces for $850. So they are really a good buy. And they'll sell for thousands of dollars when the things get hot and heated. And the $20 gold pieces, just going back to October 29th, and the reason I picked that date was because I had a buyer who purchased some coins on the 29th, and he's rebuying today. So I thought I would just go back because I knew gold prices were lower, and I just wanted to see where he bought and where it was today. Well, the gold prices are actually down $15 since October 29th, the spot gold. But the $20 gold pieces are higher, not by much. You're looking at 10, 15 bucks. But in this market, that tells me it's a strong buying signal that people are buying $20 gold pieces. So that allowed them to keep that price up, even though we saw the drop in in the bullion price. So again, it shows that there's buying going on. And what we're experiencing with these prices in gold bullion and spot gold going down is temporary. So that's one of my signs. It has never failed me. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Did you follow that, Butch?
I did. I certainly did. And any time you want to buy is when the prices are down.
Absolutely. Buy low, sell high.
That's exactly right. And gold and silver, I watched it now for a lot of years. They have tried to keep it suppressed. But I remember when silver was $3 an ounce, Melody. I remember when gold was like 125, maybe 150. I believe it was, if I remember that right. I don't want to say that for sure. But I watched silver go up from $3 an ounce to, we'll say, 17, 15 ounce. And that $3 was what I paid for the dollar itself. So I've seen it go up over years. It has never went back down to $3 that I know of in the last 20 years. It's not going to. I don't believe at all. And gold keeps going up a little bit of time. It may go up to 1500, drop back down to 1470 or whatever. It'll go back up 1550 next time, drop back down to 1500. But it never goes back down to $35 an ounce like it was back in 1933, does it?
No. It's can't say it won't, but I can't imagine. I can't imagine it would. Maybe after everything hits the floor and we reset the clock and everything. But by then, we'll be multimillionaires as we're buying up properties on pennies for pennies.
That's really true. I mean, the gold and silver will never go to nothing. That's the security you have. Paper will and is going to nothing. Bitcoin will go to nothing. Now, they're talking about making Bitcoin, that type of what we call currency, into a global currency. But it's still just a glitch on a computer. It can be lost in a mess up on electronics somewhere. You can lose it all with a push of a button. And people, we can't be stupid enough to keep that up. Surely not. We can't be that ignorant. If you're doing well in Bitcoin right now, cash out and buy some gold and silver coins. Yep. Do it now. Don't wait. That's good advice. It really is. I won't charge you a dime for it. That's good advice. Okay. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, sir.
Okay. No, sir. By golly, she's learning. Anyway. Rail recession. U.S. carloads continue to collapse and manufacturing slows. And I don't know that... I watch retail stores. I mean, stuff we don't even cover anymore. It's got to be almost mundane. Retail stores closing and laying off. But, you know manufacturing is slowing, but it's starting to really show in the trucking and the railroad industry. Nowhere is the slowdown in the U.S. economy more obvious. Now, notice it said nowhere is the slowdown in the U.S. economy more obvious than in places like Class 8 heavy-duty trucks orders and rail traffic. We already wrote about how Class 8 orders continue to fall in October, and new data at the American Association of Railroads now shows us that the last week's rail traffic is in an intermodal container uses both plunged. But if trucks and trains aren't hauling goods, that means no goods are being produced and sold. And they admit it's a slower economy. Where's somebody getting the idea that we're in such a great economy? Where's that coming from? I mean, really, think about it. I mean, if it's a great, why are we not producing more and selling more? Why are trucks slowing down? Something's not right here. Is it all service industry? Is that what everybody's seeing? They sell more hamburgers? I guess that's part of it.
It's part of it, but I think we also become, we've lowered our standard of living. And we've grown accustomed to working at this pace, really not getting ahead. So when we're, and there are places where it seems booming, buildings is, going crazy, houses are being built, complexes are being built and so forth. So it seems it looks... And, it did improve, but it improved because we've had trillions of dollars thrown at our economy to get it to what we've received. It's not based on anything other than that. And so those numbers can't hold. They won't hold unless you come along with another $1 trillion stimulus. That's a possibility, I suppose. So, when you look at the numbers, you're right, Butch. We see the numbers. What happened to the five? I mean, China has a 6% GDP? We're barely hanging on to 2. We were promised, 4, 5, 6%? Sure, they were campaign promises and so forth, where I didn't think anybody thought that would be true. But I think in the greatest economy in the world, we'd have more than barely a 2.
Well, as of right now, too, the credit market is still available. People can buy on credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know car dealers, you can go in with nothing in a car dealership and they'll sell you a new car. You might finance it 7 or 8 years, but they'll sell you a new car. It's just like it's easy done. Just go in and you you want to buy a car, they'll help you get it somehow or another. So it's all credit. And credit.
It's all credit. It's all debt.
It is. And I won't get it. It's too complicated in my mind to wrap around it. But credit only produces more vain or empty buying. They sold a car and on paper they show a profit and the manufacturer gets produced another car, but it's all done on credit. And eventually, somebody's got to say, this isn't working. It's going to drop out from underneath them. And then what's going to happen? I don't know, Melody. This is phenomenal. They kept it going for so long that I'm really surprised. I have to give them credit for doing that. They've done very well by keeping this false economy moving along and keeping people kind of content. I guess is a good way to put it.
But it's we've become content with a lower standard of living. That's simple as that.
That's exactly right.
You know, we I think it was last week we talked about the gentleman. I don't remember where they are, where the guy lived, but you know, since 2012 or 20, you know, for the past 5 years, he's owned three cars, and his first, you know, $20,000 vehicle is now, he's in debt for $45,000 because he just kept rolling it over and they kept financing the debt. So he's bought three cars on debt, and instead of owning what the car is really worth, $20,000, he owes $45,000. Now that's a little being, now that's what you call upside down.
Just a little bit. And people just find out the same things happen with the homes. They've dropped lost in value. That's, it is what it is.
Hey, homes are going to drop in half, period.
They are. They are. It's already started in a lot of places.
Yeah. And you know what? When I bought my home, how did I figure the value? It's going to be half. Half of what I'm buying it for. I've accepted it. It's reality. It's coming. And everybody should think that way. What's worst case scenario? True. You base a lot of your decisions on worst case scenarios. You're fine then. Because worst case scenario usually doesn't happen. But
at least you cover yourself if it does.
You're covered.
Exactly. And this article, this boy, I tell you what, you look at this and this is amazing. Governor of Illinois, home of nation's worst fiscal crisis, slams door on pension reform. The argument that nothing is going to happen in Illinois until things blow up got a major boost this week, but the governor of the nation's most fiscally upside-down state said no to pension reform. Governor J.B. Pritzker once again rejected calls to put a pension amendment on the ballot in 2020. Illinois' Constitution currently prohibits any reforms that diminish or impair pensions. Never mind that Means has been in a credit rating free fall. I'm sorry, never mind that Illinois has been in a credit rating free fall for more than a decade and is now just one notch from a junk rating. Now, a junk rating. Think about this, people. Whether Illinois is the nation's extreme outlier when it comes to public sector retirement debts, or that Chicago, Illinois' economic heart is even in worse shape. A rejection of pension reform by Pritzker means Illinois will continue its slide towards insolvency. Oh, Melody. That is so sad. And to show how they're trying to cover their tails, this is, I'm not making this stuff up, people. This is for real stuff. I'm not making it up. Chicago's got an answer to some of that. Article says it's kind of despicable. Chicago is rigging red light cameras to rack up millions in fines. These people, these politicians are like druggies. They gotta have a fix. And the fix has to get bigger and stronger all the time. The only way they'll do it is to take it from the people. If they can't do it in direct taxation, they do it with red light cameras that are rigged to cause people to break the law and pay fines. It appears as though someone figured out that red light cameras could rack up tons more in fines the number of times a light changes to red increases. This has led to nefariously shorter green lights in certain areas of Chicago. Intersections where drivers are issued hundreds of thousands of dollars in tickets have been unfairly racked up, according to ABC's investigative reporting team. The team timed traffic lights at intersections where cameras were present and found that drivers had less time to legally get through the intersections in directions where cameras were watching. In one case, yellow and green lights were only 20 seconds combined. Combined, people. The city, which has been in a perpetual state of financial peril, thanks to horrifying mismanagement of the pension liabilities, took $35 million from the city's 300 red light cameras so far in 2019. Melody, this is taxation through theft. That's all. It's all thievery, but this is outright thievery. Isn't it amazing? $35 million in this year alone on red light cameras that are rigged to catch you, and the people go right back to the ball game. Don't worry about it. Amazing. But
really
the politicians
is.
Don't know how to, if they cut, they're going to lose votes. That's the problem. They're going to lose their votes if they cut pensions, which they're going to have to do or lose it all. And I do believe, and I'm not a prophet, I'm just saying, I look in the near future, when this thing does finally reset itself, that most people depend on pensions, especially private funded pensions, like from cities, which are really corporations now, are going to see the pensions cut in half. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And it'll probably be more than that. It'll be as much as they can get away with. And then they'll be able to tell the retiree, well, let us take care of the rest of your money. And we'll make sure that you'll live your long days without having to worry about money. You don't have to worry about outliving your money. We'll take care of it for you. We know legislation like that is already written, long-term annuities. You know, they have it all ready to go. It's just like the Patriot Act. They had it all ready to go.
Oh, they did.
Everything, the health care. They had it all ready to go. And they work on it for years. And then they create the situation so that everybody, so that they can get it passed. And I'll tell you what, when you lose 50, 60, 70% of your money, there's going to be a lot of people that'll say, well, you know, I didn't do a very good job. So maybe I'll just let government do it.
Well,
they're here to help.
Yeah, sure. And people that I respect that are writers that I've listened to, Ron Paul and others, are warning that's going to come to physical blows. If this does happen, there's going to be an awful lot of unhappy people.
Now, there's already a lot of unhappy people, though.
There really are. It's going to get a whole lot worse. As long as they keep power on the ballgame one, they might be content. When that runs out, they're going to be trouble. With the last depression, we didn't see that. My dad was in it, and probably your parents were too. People were hurting, but there was in 1920s and 30s, there was still some morality left, some worth ethic, some concern for each other's neighbors. In today's society as a whole, that's not true. And if we think people get upset because they lose whatever, then they'll get mad enough to steal from you. What's going to be like whenever their family's hungry and they can't feed them? And they get angry at everybody, government and everybody else. Well, my neighbor's got something. I'm gonna go get that. And you say, well, it won't happen. People, it's already happening. It's already happening. Violence in the streets everywhere. I mean, I just watched a video today. I think it was in a Taco Bell. A black lady run through the restaurant and sliced a man's throat. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
This is America Today. Anyway.
Hey, we're heading in for a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have a caller. We have Lee in Texas. Good afternoon, Lee. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I enjoy y'all's program.
Thank you.
I'm not much of a speaker, so I just like to make a couple of points on a collapsed economy. All the money that's in the United States is all Federal Reserve money, and it's all loaned into society.
True.
They can recall that money whenever they want to.
Yep.
So why people will hold cash or money in stocks or whatever doesn't even make sense financially. Second point I wanted to make was, y'all talked about the $230 trillion of debt, the world debt. And I heard recently, it was on the TV program, that the Rothschild family and their consortium, whoever that is, owns or controls about $275 trillion. And to me, that's probably most of the money that's in the world. So if you take the $230 trillion from the $270 trillion, there's only about $40 trillion left to loan out. To me, that's when the collapse is going to happen, when there's no more money that they're going to loan. And it's a sobering thought to think that working people all around the world, but in America, we're going to lose almost everything. And I'll let's hang up and listen to y'all's comments. Have a good day.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Lee. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It very much.
He's right on the money. He really is.
He is.
I mean, it's going to collapse. And I don't know. He made a point there about the 200, actually 255 trillion the world's in debt. I don't know what's going to happen. If that's a limited amount, I have no idea. But it's going to collapse. There's going to be a reset, a recall. And it's going to affect people. And it's going to affect me and you, Mel. Do you know that?
It's going to affect everybody. You know, we talk about our finances. We talk about our standard of living. But the thing that we lose, what do we really lose the most? You know, we lose this country. We lost our freedoms. We lost our rights. We lost our liberties. We've lost, you know, and it's... That's the sad thing. What we have lost.
Yes.
We've lost so much more, but yet we do tie it all to the dollar because we have become such a materialistic country, world. And we've known this. I mean, ever since I got into this, 20, 25 years ago, we talked about how the goal was to lower our standard of living, to increase the world's standard of living. And when it gets to, you know, fairly an equal playing field, they would collapse it all. Where do you think we are today? That hasn't gone away. It has been more ingrained.
Absolutely.
It can't be fixed.
Well, you know, sadly, and I think this will say something that speak volumes, because of we become so materialistic, we've lost our integrity as a people. We've lost our value system. We lost it because we've sold it all for the dollar and for the idea of a soft living. That's warned about in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, in the Bible, 17:5 in the Bible, that you don't do that, but we did it anyway. And when you lose that, when you lose your integrity and you lose your moral compass, it's going to collapse. It's just a matter of time. It has to.
And we talked about it. I don't know if it was you, but somebody sent me something about, you know, when we talk about, you know, where we're at today, how societies evolve, you know, and you know, new world, we evolve. And I think it's, well, I think, yeah, and you went through the different steps that we go through as a country, as a nation, as a civilization, as whatever. You know, we go through these steps, we evolve. So I don't think a lot of this, I mean, when it comes to people like us, It's not done intentionally.
No.
But it's how we're driven and conditioned through propaganda.
Absolutely.
through whatever you want to call it. It's like we're hurt, the world, unless, you critically think and you can see through all the illusions that have been created.
Well,
you still have hope.
We're warned in the scriptures that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We were bought into it with their, I guess you say, ignorantly, but we're still into it. You can fall into a cave ignorantly, but you're still in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are.
Do I have hope we can change? Of course. But what's the reality? It's going to change. It's just, we don't know when and how.
Well, as long as we keep trying to pass the buck, so to speak, and blaming somebody else, until we learn to stand on our own two feet, provide for ourselves, use common sense, and quit trusting in man and man's governments, Melody, it's never going to change for anybody, because as long as we put trust in somebody else to take care of us, they own us.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
I'm yeah.
Now we have the families in Sandy Hook's the Supreme Court said they could sue Remington for selling the gun, and now article here, Mexicans went to, now this is, in fact, this is unbelievable. A Walmart supercenter in El Paso, Texas, where suspected white nationalist gunman killed 22 people on August 3rd. It said Mexico's government said Wednesday. Now listen, Mexico's government said Wednesday it's helped 10 Mexican citizens file lawsuits against Walmart over an August shooting at a store in El Paso where a suspected white nationalist killed 22 people. He's suspected to be a white nationalist, so it makes it a bad case. And they're suing Walmart because they didn't do something to protect them. It's not Walmart's place to protect you, people. It's your job to protect yourself. Even the cops will tell you it's not your place to protect you. If they're right on hand, it might work out that way. But it's not their first job to protect you. That's what they'll tell you. It is up to you to protect yourself. That's why we're commanded by God Almighty Christ Himself, and in the Second Amendment Bill of Rights, to arm ourselves. Melody, they're going to blame Walmart because some people got shot. Is Walmart supposed to put armed guards all through the store? I mean, what's this supposed to be, an armed camp? It's ridiculous. Well, not my fault. Walmart should have protected me. Unbelievable. Any comments?
No, I don't.
It's unbelievable. It's just
a strange world that we live, and you can find stuff. It is just crazy. It's just crazy out there.
And now we have Congress passes a Hong Kong Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I wanted to get your view on that, and then I just want to talk after that. I just want to talk about the funding bill that was just passed. So,
go ahead.
We talked about that yesterday. And I want your view on it. I want to hear your insights on it.
Well, the House voted 417-1 to say we're going to give the pass.
Who was
Hong
the
Kong,
one? Who was the
I don't
one?
Know. It doesn't say.
Yeah.
But they said the House passed a second bill to bar the export of certain munitions to Hong Kong police by the same margin, 417-1. But we're telling Hong Kong that they have to give their people rights while we're trampling the rights of American citizens every day. And the people, we were going to applaud them for telling the Hong Kong government to let your people alone. They have rights, and we're destroying America. Listen, I could go into dozens of stories that I hear sent to me, called into me, and sent to me all the time by people whose homes have been taken because they owe $8 in back taxes. And that's the truth. And we're going to tell Hong Kong they got to treat the people right. If that is not the pot calling the kettle black, if that's not his hypocrisy, I don't know what it is. That's my point of view on that. Hypocrisy.
Well, I said see if you agree with me. I said yesterday that it was like we are drawing the line in the sand to China. China, because you got to remember, it's China, not Hong Kong, it's China, that we're saying back off. And you know, maybe some good will come out of it. I don't know. But you're right. Who is it to say? And what I want to know is, it came out of the Senate. That's what's shocking. Because the Republicans control the Senate.
This is absolutely, Millie, this is a slap in the face of China.
You'd think.
It's a slap in the face of Americans.
So, I mean, I didn't agree with it, and I thought it was kind of off the wall, and it could really lead to any. How are you going to get a trade deal from that? We're going to keep that separate from the trade deal. Hey, folks, everybody forgets that these are. China's a. Does anybody know what communism is anymore?
Oh, no. We want it here now.
Does anybody really know what that means and how countries act and behave? Or has it changed? You know, have they redefined communism? I guess they have. They redefine everything. So they redefine communism as, or it just doesn't exist anymore. You know, the only communism people think of is, you know, when they, you know, see a Nazi or something like that. I don't know. It's crazy, Butch.
And Nazism is not communism at all. But anyway.
True. Right. But that's how they connect it. That's what they connect.
Sure, of course. But, you know, now we've got Hong Kongers, the wealthy ones, looking for places to move to. They're rightfully afraid. They're looking at Malaysia and Taiwan and Singapore. They're wanting to move out of there because Hong Kong's falling apart. You know, the banks even haven't been open there for quite a while. I don't have people doing business because the banks aren't even open. So that is really sad. But we're going to give them a Bill of Rights, by golly, whether they want it or not. Unbelievable. And then Colombia now, another nation in South America is getting ready for mass protest because what's happening in Chile spilled over into Colombia. It's not, and Colombia has been a very stable nation for years. But now they put borders up around their nation, which you should, to keep the people out that's going to bring in some problems. But with every nation in the world, as the Bible says, that they'll rage. In the last days, the masses will rage. It's not just here. It's worldwide. We haven't even seen anything here yet, Millie, but it's coming to America. You know that.
Yes.
Any comments?
Nope.
And this I thought was interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to do this. The Senate did pass a short-term funding bill. And today, to avert a government shutdown, and the vote was 74-20. Government funding expires at midnight tonight, but the bill will go to President Trump for his signature. The House passed a short-term funding bill known as a continuing resolution. I mean, they do this until they get together. They did one earlier in the week to extend funding through December 20th. As of Wednesday night, Senate Republican leaders were still working to relieve objections on their side of the aisle to components of the month-long continuing resolution to keep the government operating past the deadline when funding expires. You know, it's just...
Kick the can.
I feel so much better now.
I do, too. I feel so relieved. I tell you, I really do. This will fix it all. You know,
all right, I'm done.
This just ties more into the insanity of this country, and with insanity is unbelievable, and the decadence, and it breaks my heart. Denver business owner fined for not cleaning up vagrant poo and used needles. Now, folks, this is really happening. There's food, trash, drug deals, and said Jawad Bazar, who added in the alley we get, you know, the defecation, drug needles, prostitution behind his internet company. ForeThoughts.net. One night, an employee was sitting in his car when someone smashed a window and tried to stab him, according to Bazar. When Bazar and his crew stopped cleaning up the constant hazardous mess left by the vagrants, telling CBS he's not equipped to deal with it, Denver fined him. The city is not going to enforce laws against trespassing or camping or public defecation and just make me bear the cost of the problem. That's just not right, he told CBS4. That's how bad it's getting. Now they're going to force business owners to clean up and vagrants defecating, urinating in the street, and throwing out drug needles. The business is going to be fine if you'll clean it up, Melody. Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
I mean, this, folks, I don't want to make you upset and discourage you, but this is America. If we don't stop it, it's not going to stop at all. I mean, in San Francisco, they're not going to find anybody for defecating the streets or prostituting themselves in the streets. They're not even going to find it. They're not going to do anything about it. We've lost every standard you can think of. And they're going to find businesses for not cleaning up because somebody cluttered up the streets with who knows what. It's not a business's place to go out there and clean up somebody else's poo. That's all I can say. Okay, Melody, you go ahead. It's your turn.
Well, I don't know how to follow poo. So. Okay.
I know how we're going to follow.
I have an out. We're at the end of the program.
Can't be already.
Yes, it is. 800-375-4188. Boy, that was a hard act to follow there, Butch. 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So please be safe. Good night and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.